Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26. For the preaching of God's word. Genesis chapter number 26. Let's begin reading, if we would, in verse number 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. And I pray, God, you'd help us to receive the blessing that it might affect our behavior in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The last several weeks that we were in Genesis chapter 26, we were visiting in the life of Isaac, centered around this thought: your faith will be tested. Let me say that again and perhaps see if you agree with me. Your faith will be tested. Abraham's was, but Abraham was gone. And now his son, under better circumstances, you remember Abraham presented himself to us in scripture, if you would, in the middle of anonymity, in the Ur of the Chaldees, in the middle of nowhere, and God called him out, if you would, really out of a land of idolatry and out of a situation where he would take him somewhere that he didn't know where he'd end up. And yet God expected Abraham, even with that circumstance, to have faith that would prevail. Now Isaac, under different circumstances, raised up better. You remember, Abraham wasn't raised in a Christian home, but Isaac was. Abraham was called out of nowhere to go somewhere. Isaac didn't experience those same situations. Different situation, different upbringing, different background, but doesn't matter who you are, what you've come from, where you're going, your faith will be tested. And Isaac's was. It was tested. And in many ways, he failed. He didn't fail in where he went. God permitted him to go there. God knew where he was going, and God was going to take care of him. God blessed him like he did Abraham, and that wasn't how he failed. He failed later on in the story when he lied about who his wife was. And he showed, if you would, that his faith did not triumph over difficult circumstances. By the way, a lot of people's faith can soar when it's not tried. A lot of people can praise God when there's nothing at stake. A lot of people can praise God when everything's going well. A lot of people can shout on the mountaintop. A lot of people can rejoice on good days. A lot of people can testify after receiving a blessing. A lot of people can smile when things are working out for their benefit. But when you're down in the depths of despair and your faith is being tested and your faith is being questioned and your testimony is being interrogated, will you lie? He did. As a matter of fact, lying took him so low that it took a heathen to rebuke him. And God help us when we as saved folks are living so unsaved-like that unsaved people need to tell us how to live like we're saved. And that's exactly what happened in Isaac's life. But the mercy of God allowed the truth to come out. By the way, if you're ever living a lie, don't get mad when you get caught, because you wouldn't catch yourself. God has to catch you. But even when God catches you, it's better than still living a lie. We're picking up now in verse number 12. There he is, still in Gerar. Gerar is Philistine territory. Gerar is foreign territory. It's not where Isaac would go by choice. Remember, it's where he went based on the circumstance of famine. It was where God wanted him to be. It's where God allowed him to be. We see in scripture that perhaps he thought about going to Egypt like his daddy did, but God said, don't go, and he didn't. He ended up staying where he was supposed to stay. He was tempted, he failed, but the mercy of God was there to recover him when he failed. This is not the message, but I'd like to pause, give you a chance to say amen for the times that you failed, and the mercy of God was there to recover you when you fail. Somebody say amen. And now, I'm thinking in my mind, okay, I failed. God's mercy has recovered me. I'm in Gerar. Surely the announcement from God will now come telling me to go somewhere else. And it doesn't. Still in the Philistine territory. Still amongst foreigners, if you would. Foreigners, not just nationality, but foreigners outside of an understanding of God. They were foreign to God. Isaac knew God. They did not. And yet God left him there. Why? Why would God leave me somewhere out of my comfort zone when he knows he could send me somewhere better? I'll tell you why. Because his ways are above our ways, and his way is always perfect. Now here he is in Gerar. This is what I've entitled these next several thoughts, and I want you to write down, and I hope that it'll help us. I've entitled this, Grow Where You're Planted. Grow where you're planted. Pastor, why are you preaching this? Because there are a lot of Christians who have already written down all of their intentions of what they're going to do for God as soon as he releases them from Gerar. I'm going to grow. I'm going to go. I'm going to glow as soon as I get out of here. As soon as you get me out this job, I'm going to live for you. As soon as you get me out this relationship, I'm going to live for you. As soon as you get me out this debt, I'm going to live for you. As soon as you get me out this valley, I'm going to live for you. As soon as you get me out this predicament, I'm going to live for you. As soon as you get me out this burden, I'm going to live for you. As soon as you get me out this crisis, I'm going to live. Right now, I can't grow, God, because Gerar is not set up for growth. Here's what God is saying to Isaac. You better learn how to grow where you're planted, because guess what, buddy? You're going to be there a while. Now, some of you came to church, and if you had it your way, you would graduate from Gerar, and yet God says, no, not only are you not going to graduate right now, you're going to take an extended course. Gerar represents foreign country. It represents enemy territory. It represents out of the comfort zone. It represents circumstances that are not ideal. It represents a scenario that you wouldn't choose. It represents being in an awkward spot. It represents where you are when you can't control stuff. It represents scenarios you can't fix. It represents problems you can't solve. It's where you end up on the run. It's where you end up hiding from mess. It's where God sent you that you would have never gone on your own. It's where the car breaks down. It's where the ship gets wrecked. It's where the balloon loses all its air. It's Gerard. You don't want to be there, but you are. And I'm telling you, learn to grow. Listen, maybe you could title the message this way. You don't get a timeout in Gerard. See, here's the problem with some Christians. They think that they can only move up for God in places they want to be. And God is teaching Isaac, you don't have to be in Canaan to grow. You don't have to be in the place you want to be. Listen to me, beloved. You can have a bad job. You can have a bad family crisis. You can have bad finances. You can be dealing with bad health and still grow, because the bad doesn't outrank the good God. So stop scheduling your growth for when you get out of Gerard and start learning to grow while you are in Gerard, because God sent you there. That's where he planted you, and that's where you ought to grow. Now let's follow Isaac, because he's going to help us. He's going to help us grow in Gerard. Grow where you're planted. Write down point number one. Covenant prosperity. Covenant prosperity. How does prosperity come to Gerard? How does prosperity come to Philistine? Listen, we're going to spend a good portion of our Old Testament speaking about Philistines in direct conflict with God. How does a child of God grow in enemy territory? Well, here's how covenant prosperity is manifested. Look at Isaac. The Bible said he sowed in, verse number 12, I want you to read it. Don't take my word for it. And Isaac sowed in what? That land. I know this is deep, but I think you can handle it on a night where the temperatures are going down towards the teens. Now watch this now. I think you can handle it. The reason why some people never grow in Gerard is because they never sow in Gerard. See, you're so busy crossing your arms. I don't like it. This is not where I want to be. This is not fun. This is not enjoyable. This is rougher than I ever ordered. And God said, yeah, it is. But what's that got to do with seeds you got in your pocket? You've got to get up in Gerard. Well, I'm going to save it for when you may not ever make it to where you want to go. But I'll tell you one thing. God will find you some soil in the middle of enemy territory. Watch this now. It'll be soil that even the enemy has sowed into that didn't produce growth. But meanwhile, God has forewarned the soil. One of my children's in town, and you're going to grow fruit in that land where it didn't even grow for the home folk. And here goes Isaac. I am not going to sit in the house whining about Gerard. But I'm not from Gerard. But nobody knows me in Gerard. But I'm not the man in Gerard. But I'm not popular in Gerard. But nobody's going to respect me in Gerard. That don't have anything to do with it, Gerard. Isaac, you got seed. He sowed in two words, that land. Beloved, you're going to learn how to sing when you have trials. Come on. You're going to have to learn how to shout in the valley. You're going to have to learn how to give when you don't know you're going to get back. You're going to have to learn how to praise him in the hard time. You're going to have to learn how to put out when you don't know when it's going to come back, because God has you in Gerard. Active faithfulness. This is where most Christians stop growing in tough times. They cease being faithful. They have a bad trial, so they quit church. They run up on hard times, so they quit tithing. Somebody mistreats them, so they join in the mistreating campaign, and they forget if you sowed when things were good, you gotta sow when things are bad. After all, the growth doesn't come from the ground. The growth comes from your God. Active faithfulness. Write down this. Covenant prosperity, not only active faithfulness, but abundant fruitfulness. The Bible says, not only sowed, but next part of the verse said, he received. Now, listen. Can I ask you a question? Just because you may be foreign in a land, do you think that that means that God can't find you where you are and send you some fruit? Come on. Pastor, if I could just get a better job, if I could just get in a better situation, it would be much more fruitful there. Can I tell you, God can bring fruit. And by the way, it didn't just say fruit. The Bible said hundredfold. Listen to me now. God can bring hundredfold fruit to Gerard. You don't need a new job for God to bless you. Come on, you don't need a clean bill of health from your doctor for God to bless you. You don't even need a better marriage for God to bless you. You don't need to wake up tomorrow and have all your problems gone for God. I tell you what you need. You need faithfulness, because faithfulness to God always results in fruitfulness from God. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, if you've served God for any length of time, you've discovered that some of the most fruitful times in your life came during the times of trial and tribulation. And it taught you that God was not limited to the mountaintop, that God knew your location when nobody else did, that God knew your area code when your phone had no service, that God knew your burdens when you couldn't even pray them, that God knew your secrets that you wouldn't tell anybody, that God knew what you needed when nobody else knew. Why? Gerard is still on God's map. Amen. Active faithfulness. Abundant fruitfulness. Same year. Verse number 12 ends with this. The Lord blessed him. Write down absolute favor. Stop putting a human location on the favor of God. Well, God can't bless me here. Well, God can't bless me. Well, watch this. God can't bless me till I get there. First of all, you're not the blesser, you're the blessee. So let the blesser decide where he's going to bless the blessee. I can't tell you how many Christians I talk to that spend all of their passion complaining about location. Come on now. Don't complain about location. Credit the Lord. Listen to me. It's not about where you are. It's about whose you are. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be in the right place. But I'm just simply saying, when you're where God put you, don't complain about where he put you. Get busy where he put you. Absolute favor. Verse number 13. Apparent fame. The man waxed great. Verse 13 said he grew until he became very great. Now, don't miss this, because this is a blessing. God took a man in a land where he was a nobody and made him a great somebody. Listen to me. Now, you say, Pastor, where's the practicality in this message? Well, to be honest with you, we as children of God are living in a foreign land.
Did you hear me? I said we're living in a form. I'm not talking about diversity and nationality. Diversity and nationality is a great thing. We all need to look alike and sound alike. Thank God that we're different. Amen. When I talk about foreignness, I'm not talking about our physical genes. I'm talking about our spiritual foreignness. See, we live in a world that doesn't know God like we do. They don't understand the Bible like we do. They don't have the Holy Ghost inside of us. And when you go to work tomorrow, you start saying things about the Word of God, they look at you like you're crazy. And you go to your family reunion, and you start talking about what you do as a family, what you don't do, and they think you're weird. And your kids go to public school and start talking about living for God, and they're nobodies. And all of a sudden, they're mistreated and they're isolated and ostracized. Why? Because the main prevailing way of life in this land is different than Christianity. And yet God took a man who was living different than the rest of the culture and took him from the bottom and set him on the top. You don't have to live like Gerar to be on top in Gerar. You live for God in Gerar, and God will put you on top in Gerar. Now here's the temptation. If I'm going to make it to fame in Gerar, I got to live like Gerar. Not Isaac. No. I'm in Gerar, but I'm a child of God. I wrote this down in my notes. A vagabond is a man with no home. A stranger is a man away from home. But a pilgrim is a man that's heading home. Somebody say amen. You see, this is why God blessed Isaac. He wasn't a vagabond on the run. He wasn't a stranger just away, but he was a pilgrim. He wasn't at home. He wasn't just away from home. He was headed home. I'm glad I'm not at home right now, but I'm not living on the run like I don't know what I'm doing. I'm headed home. I'm marching to Zion. I'm not just going to enjoy the destination. I'm going to enjoy the journey. Advancing forwardness. Write this down. Advancing forwardness. This helped me. Verse 13. He went forward. I said he went forward. Now listen to me now, because I'm telling you the truth. God is using Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, to tell the believers at Crossroads Baptist Church tonight that living in circumstances that are out of your comfort zone is not an excuse to go backwards. Why are you saying this? Because I want you to stop using it. Excuses are like armpits. Everybody's got some. And listen to me now. And by the way, you know why I said everybody's got them? Because just because everybody's got them doesn't mean everybody uses them. Okay? Listen. You're going to have to quit telling everybody that you're not growing in your walk with the Lord because of your circumstances. Because Isaac landed in a land that wasn't his, but he determined that, listen to me now, you mark it down in your calendar, faithfulness works everywhere. You hear me now? It works in debt. It works in the hospital. It works when you go through divorce. It works when your children get rebellious. It works when your family disowns you. It works when your friends won't own you. It works when your foes are all over you. Faithfulness works everywhere. It works when you're sick. It works when you're struggling. It works when you're bereaved. It works when you're attacked. It works when you're hurting. It works when it feels like nobody knows what you're going on. Faithfulness works. I don't like Gerar. You don't have to like it, but you got to be there a while. So grow where you're planted. Amen. I love the two words in that verse. He went forward. You know what it does to all of us? Because right now, I'm not a prophet, but right now, there are some of you Christians saying in your mind, oh my goodness, Pastor is describing my life. Don't give it away. Don't tell everybody. You're saying it in your head. You can tell your wife later. Pastor is talking like he knows everything that's going on with us right now, and he doesn't. No, but God does. and he put Genesis 26 in the Bible to land in your heart tonight, because he knew when I preached on Isaac's Gerar, it would correlate with your Gerar. And I'm just simply saying, it's not by accident, but by providence. Pastor, how should I pray? Stop praying to leave Gerar and start praying to grow. Can I grow from Gerar? Sure you can. Isaac did. How? Covenant prosperity. Now let me give you this second one, because this is also something you're going to have to learn while you grow, right? You planted, grow where you're planted. That it will involve covenant prosperity. Here's the good news. Gerar is not off of God's radar. He can and will, if you're faithful, bless you there. But here's a warning sign. That while you are enjoying covenant prosperity, you will also be introduced to contentious people. Because now listen. When you waltz into a foreign land among people that don't know your God like you do, and you come in their territory and get blessed, you go from the bottom to the top and pass them on the way, you will enjoy yourself, but they will not enjoy your getting blessed. And here goes those around him. We don't like you. We're not very keen on the fact that you showed up here in our... Could you imagine walking into someone's territory, sowing in land they had sown on, experienced no growth, and here you come throwing seed on the same piece of land, and all of a sudden in the same year it starts growing. And they're looking at you like, who is he and why is there fruit there? Here you come skipping on to the job. Ain't been there long. You get promoted. And somebody been on the job way longer than you looks over you and say, why you get promoted? Why God blessing you? Why is faith? Look, we're home and not getting blessed. You're away from home and getting blessed. There's a problem. Now notice there was incited envy as a result of this. On the heels of the hundredfold blessing of God in Isaac's life, the Bible tells us, verse number 14, at the last phrase, and the Philistines envied him. And the Philistines envied him. Why? He was a man of faithfulness. He was a man of fruitfulness. He was a man of fame. He was a man of favor. He was a man of forwardness. He was a man of fortune. And they didn't like it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of favor. Stop being so disillusioned when people aren't as excited about your blessings as you are. You've been there. Come on now. You be honest. Take your halo off for a moment. You can put it on before you leave. It's cold outside. But for now, before the invitation, take your halo off. Don't show it on the outside, but admit right inside without changing your facial expression that on occasion you have found yourself failing to rejoice during testimony time because you weren't the one sharing that testimony. Oh, you did? God blessed me with a new... He did. Hallelujah. I just went to the doctor, and the doctor said, it's all clear. Oh, did he? You don't have it no more? No, it's gone. Rah. You didn't mean to look like that, but in your mind, you were saying, why he is gone and mine still there? When is my story coming? Come on. Now I'm meddling now, but I was gone a couple weeks, so I owe you a few medals. Listen, some of you singles, if you're not careful, you catch yourself kind of grimacing when somebody announces they're getting married. Another one, she leaving the group. Oh, that's your ring? It's cute. It's cute. It's a
cute ring. When he give it to you? Y'all getting married soon? Oh, I can't wait to come to your wedding. And in your mind, let me see what I can schedule myself to be out of town for. You know, listen to me. Here's what's happening in your life. Somebody else is being favored in front of me, and I don't like it. And we've all been there. Because who doesn't like to get blessed? I'm not telling you you're wrong for liking to get blessed. I'm telling you you're wrong for being mad when somebody else is. They envied him. And some of you are not sowing in Gerar because you don't think you can get blessed there. Meanwhile, some of you are getting blessed in Gerar and you're a little confused why your BFFs have resigned from being your BFFs once you are better than they are. You start looking around and say, ever since I posted the blessing of God, I ain't heard from so-and-so. Mm-hmm. So-and-so's a little confused why you just got the G-Rod this year and you got more fruit in 1 year than they have had in a decade. Incited envy. Look at the intentional evil of these contentious people. The wells of Abraham, the wells of Isaac's dad, guess what these Philistines had done with them? Stopped them and put dirt in them. 15. This is contention. I mean, just straight up, just raw, wretched evil. I mean, just because you're not using a well don't mean you got to stop it up. And then just put dirt in it. You know, here's what they're saying. Not only are we not using them, we don't want anybody else to use them. You ever met evil people before? Not in here. No. But other places. People that once they discover they can't have it, they're going to make sure you can't either. Huh? You know what I think is evil? I think it's evil when a person takes two parts. You think that's evil? You don't want to say it because you take two parts, huh? You know what they're saying? You ain't going to have this part. Some of them take two parts and they don't want somebody to dent up their car, right? You know what that means? They ought to park way over there somewhere where nobody else parked, amen? Evil is, I'm going to make sure you can't have something good. Even if they weren't using it, to stop them up and keep other people from using it was evil. Now watch this now. The favor of Isaac incited envy. It brought about intentional evil. And because of that, watch this now, it ended up becoming insisted expulsion. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 16. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. The old English is quite pleasant there. So let me bring it to where y'all folk can understand. Isaac, get up out of here. We don't like you. You got more than we do, and looking at you makes us sick. That's what they're saying. You aren't much mightier than we. You better than us. You look better than us. Get out to choir. You sing better than me. Don't preach. They amen you louder than they amen me. You just got here and they're all swarming around you. And I've been here and I can't even get one bee to buzz. Watch this now. When you rejoice when somebody goes, you are admitting you envied. And here goes the king. You got to go, man. Watch it. He wasn't messing with anybody. Isn't it amazing how some people will run the best people out and will tolerate the worst people? Now, you're working beside somebody that's trying to cut your throat and destroy you, and you up there saying, hey, nice to see you. And meanwhile, somebody over here that's just hard work. You see, hardworking people expose lazy people. Lazy people don't want other lazy people to leave because while they're around, they don't look bad. But lazy people want the hard. Don't you come. When you come to practice, we got to run harder. When you sit in the section, you ask Pastor Mike extra questions, and we practice longer. I was sad you had the flu, but I was glad you had the flu. Because when you not here, we get out earlier. Now you know I'm telling the truth. Get out of here! You done come in our land, blew up. Everybody knows who you are. You're growing fruit in ground we can't grow. And here goes the king representing the people. Buddy, I'm sorry. You're going to have to go because what people been saying, that's normally a lie. Pastor, people have been saying, yeah, you, your dog, your bird, and a few other voices that Percocet got talking to you. But other than that, the people don't even exist. People have been saying that we think, first of all, anonymous people don't deserve to be quoted. Amen. People without a name need to be unnamed. And so do their statements. Isaac, you're going to have to leave because the consensus among the people is we don't like you here. Why? Because I'm hardworking. Here's what I love about Isaac. Keeping the peace was more important to him than being successful. He left. He didn't have to. He could have fought the issue. But here's what he thought. I can take my red wagon and go somewhere else because I've learned something called faithfulness. And if it worked here, wherever God takes me next, it's going to work there. See you later. Some people don't want to go to where God's taking them because they know they have not learned the practice of a formula that is universally effective. And that's faithfulness. Listen to me. Don't learn to be a Crossroads member. Learn to be a faithful Christian. And if God sends you to Afghanistan, you won't be a Crossroads Christian. You'll be a faithful Christian. And you will grow in Afghanistan tuning in to sermon audio where there is no church if that's where God sent you. You will stay at Crossroads where there is a church and not grow if you're not faithful. Let me stop there because I got about three more to go and I can't rush through the next one because it demands attention. Could we think about these tonight? Some of you have sent letters from G-Rar, teardrops on them. Skeleton skulls on there. Just, oh, it's just terrible down here. You know, if we're not careful, some of the people of God will develop a knack for testifying G-Rarishly. Be careful that every public statement you make is not an attempt at sympathy. Don't get quiet. You're indicting yourself. Say amen. Sometimes you ought to bless the Lord from G-Rar and stop bellyaching. Oh, how things have been. Listen, some of the most joyous testifying people in Crossroads Baptist Church are the people going through the most. They have learned something. They have learned that their blessings are not contingent upon their location. Their blessings are contingent upon their Lord. And so they've determined to bless the Lord.
And then some people, every time you talk to them, she ain't that, he ain't that, this ain't that, everything's wrong. As soon as God get me out of here, I'm going to grow. I'm telling you what, your growth is not about where you are. You wouldn't grow in Canaan because you don't know how to sow. And God always honors faithfulness. So, Pastor, God has planted me somewhere right now that is outside my comfort zone and away from my liking. I don't want to be here. It's not up to you. Well, what is up to me? To get up, take your seed, and sow it. And mark God's words. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In 2019, we'll all visit some form of Gerar. But may God give us enough commitment to say, I'll grow where I'm planted. Father, thank you. Some are in some valleys. They're taxed beyond measure, struggling in an unusual way, watching the clock, wondering when the transfer is going to come through. And you, in your providence, have ordained a stay. May Isaac's testimony ring loud and clear tonight that even from Gerar, we can grow. In Jesus' name.